Even we are better than the Astros. This is Fantasy Science.
Hey, hey, everyone. How's it going? Welcome to the first episode of Fantasy Science.
Numero uno.
Numero uno, indeed. My name is Dan.
That'd be the first one.
Oh, the first one?
Yes.
The first one, indeed.
Yes.
Like I said, my name's Dan.
My name is Mitch.
And we'll be your lovely hosts for this awesome podcast.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, so just give you a little bit of an intro here about what we're going to be talking about and why we're worth your time.
Well, at least one of us is worth your time.
And that would be me.
Yeah, probably.
We're going to be chatting here about fantasy baseball and the league that we're going to be focusing on, which we feel like is the majority of leagues, is a 10-team standard ESPN points league.
Yeah, and that would be the Mixed League, AL and NL.
Yes, Mixed League. Thank you. Thank you. I did not have that written down for some stupid reason.
Yeah, I apologize. Dan's not very intelligent.
And so that'll be the majority focus. I'd say 98.6% of our conversations.
Around that, yes.
And the other filler, Mitch and I, for the first time, are doing CBS and Yahoo leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So if we suck royally, we won't talk about them.
Not at all. No, we don't talk about our failures here.
But if we're winning, we will mention it.
Yeah, and by we, he means Mitch is probably going to be winning. So
maybe.
I mean, we'll post our teams and we'll let you, the viewer, decide.
Yes, and the reason that we're doing ESPN is, like was sort of mentioned earlier, we have the most experience doing those.
Mm-hmm.
CBS and Yahoo are really, really different.
Yeah, they're very strange on their points. If you've ever played ESPN and you've never played Yahoo or CBS, it's kind of weird on how they do things. You know, it's grand slams and things. And
yeah, no, it was goofy. I mean, I think, like you said, they give points for grand slams. There's a no-hitter bonus.
Yeah, ESPN has those abilities to put them in there usually, but yeah, no one really does that I've seen, I've ever played with at least.
Yeah, it's definitely goofy, so it should be an interesting experience, I would say.
Yep.
To give you a little bit of background on us and why we're quote-unquote experts, this is my third year playing fantasy baseball. First season was not a success, but the last...
Not at all. He got destroyed.
Yeah, terrible. Just awful. Yep. I had no idea what I was doing.
Kind of like him in actual sports.
Yeah. Oh, man, that hurts a little bit. That makes me feel a little bit less of a man.
Yep.
So my second year last year, I actually got to... Mitch and I did the tango in the championship game.
Yeah, and we all know who won that tango.
Yeah, I got kicked in the kneecaps on that one.
Destroyed.
So I'm hoping to play better than that and hopefully win this year.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I can't allow it.
But I am in a better position this year than I was the first two. Experience is key.
Yep. Dan's been doing a lot of work in the offseason, too. And there's one thing I got to say about fantasy baseball. The offseason is where you make your money.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming into the season in the best shape of my life.
Yep. Best shape of his life. Just like Jeff Francoeur. Who else, Dan?
I don't know. Who else have we heard? Trout was in pretty good shape.
No, Trout's not in good shape. Trout's like 20 pounds overweight.
9% body fat.
Yeah, well, he's a freak. Anyway, anyone but Pablo Sandoval right now is in the best shape of their life.
Yeah, true. He is in a shape.
He's a round shape.
Yeah. Ha ha! Ba-doom.
Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. Mitch, you want to talk about your experience there?
Yeah, so I started at the beginning of college, which was, I think, 5 years ago. So this is my sixth season. I didn't do so well my first year either. I think I finished 6 out of 10.
Ooh.
But then after that, I slowly learned, exactly how things were run, and I took advantage of the system. I kind of ran with it with my own strategy that was different than anyone else in the league. And I've finished in the top three for the past 4 years, been the points leader for the past 3 years, and tied a championship last year, which is very hard to do, just tying, you know, it's like kissing your sister. I've won a championship and I've come in second. So I've also spread out to a few other leagues, won the league against Dan last year, so that was a different league. Basically have been dominating for the last couple years. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, Mitch definitely has, he he's refining his strategy every year.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the pleasure of seeing the strategy kind of evolve.
Yeah, basically I use Microsoft Excel. For those of you that have been living in a cave, you know what that is. And those of you who've, you know, have taken some classes in it, you know, you definitely have an advantage even if you don't realize it.
Yeah, it's actually, and even like me, I mean, I took a couple classes on it and didn't realize I had an advantage until I actually started using it.
Yep, absolutely. So if you have, use it, and if not, go look at some YouTube videos and figure out Excel.
Yeah, yeah, definitely a nice little tool to keep everything organized.
Yep. So as we go through this show, you know, eventually I'll start talking more about the strategy more specifically. You know, ways. You know, if you're not too familiar with fantasy baseball, how to use the strategy in a way that'll help you benefit, you know, in the draft. This is all just for drafting. When it comes to the waivers, there's really nothing you can do Excel-wise, you know, to determine who you're supposed to pick up. But, you know, drafting won't kill you, or, I mean, it won't win or lose you the league pretty much. But, you know, it can definitely give you a good advantage at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah, and it's nice to have a little buffer when you come out of the gate, especially if you get some midseason injuries and you start losing a few matchups.
Yeah, or if you have Dan in your division, then it's just a nice buffer right there, too.
Yeah, well, that's not nice.
Yep.
That's not nice.
And Dan is actually in my division. He didn't get so lucky.
Yeah, and it's speaking of it, going back to the CBS and Yahoo real quick for how, you know, what the odds are on this. Mitch and I are playing each other in the first matchup in both of those leagues.
Yep, same division in both of them. And then actually we're the same division in the Steens, which is our most coveted league.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue.
Yeah, I was trying. And yeah, now you're making this awkward for everyone.
That was great. That was great. I'm excited. I'm excited about that segue. Not the real segue. I think those things are weird.
Yeah. Yep. Very strange.
Anyway, so moving on to the league that Mitch and I are playing in, and that is for a whole bunch of prestige.
Absolutely.
It is called the Steens.
It was named after one of our dear friends in high school. His girlfriend freshman year. They kind of had a little rough patch. A lot of mystery behind it and how that ended. He never told us.
We're gonna go dear friend in college on that one.
Yeah.
Not high school.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be college. And if anyone's ever seen the show The League, we kind of based it off of that. And they got the Shiva. We've got the Steens. Their prize is a trophy. Our prize is something else that wears a Kirk Gibson jersey.
Yes.
So, yeah. You know, whoever wins that. And, you know, it's a kind of a big deal with our friends.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. We got the winner of the league winning that with the Kirk Gibson jersey. We got the points leader grabbing a Warren Moon jersey.
Yeah, for the number one, yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. And then the overall loser gets to fit themselves into a women's medium pink Tebow jersey.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's not pretty. No. Well, it is pretty. That's the problem.
Oh, it is. It very much is pretty. There's lots of sparkles.
Yes. And so, yeah, we're going to have our draft in public, hopefully. And, whoever has to wear that pink Tebow jersey is going to be pretty embarrassed, hopefully.
Yeah, so we'll be giving you updates throughout the season. Hopefully we'll be able to feature some of the other league members.
Yep.
And talking about the matchups that we have with them and the results and, you know, what's going on there.
Yeah, we'll give you updates after the draft even on, you know, how our teams look. And, you know, Dan actually and I are on the exact opposite ends of the draft. He's at the 2 spot and I'm at the 9 spot.
Yep. And I guess that'll lead us into our league is a little bit different than what we're going to be mostly talking about.
Yep.
Ours is a 10-team ESPN points league, AL only.
Yep.
Not standard points. It's close, because we are eliminating wins and losses for pitchers and throwing in quality starts instead.
Yep. That way the, you know, whatever team that pitcher's on really doesn't affect them too much, you know? So, you know, Felix Hernandez has the exact same chance of getting a quality start as Justin Verlander.
Yeah, even though their end of the year records, Felix will probably have 11 wins and Verlander will be in the 20 win range.
Yeah, I mean, one could only hope for Verlander.
Yeah, I mean that's a 45 point difference right there and something that neither guy can control.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what we'll be chatting about, probably on a on at least a weekly basis for our league, giving you updates there. But so yeah, let's move on to some baseball news, because we all know that spring training just kicked off recently.
Did it?
It did.
Oh wow,
it did. At least the playing of games in spring training.
I don't know if you can call those games, really. Does anyone even go to those?
Team versus team.
There you go.
In spring training. How about that? So we've got some news to share out of spring training, stuff that we kind of found interesting. Might not necessarily be mainstream news, because we figure that you've probably seen that.
I mean, there's some mainstream news, too. So, yeah. We'll give our opinion on, but yeah.
We're not going to go horribly obscure.
Yeah, let's not go to, like, Matt Wieters. Yeah, that's pretty obscure.
No, yeah, we don't go there.
Yeah, just a warning for any Matt Wieters fans out there, if there are any, I don't know if there are. Me and Dan both have a vendetta against him, so.
Yeah, we do. And if you're a Matt Wieters fan, just probably, I don't know.
Tune out right now.
Just yeah.
Stop listening, because you're not going to enjoy any of this.
No, you're gonna have hurt feelings.
Yes.
So yeah, Mitch, you wanna kick us off here with the news?
Okay. We'll start off with something that's not too obscure. Let's go with Alfonso Soriano as a Granderson replacement.
What?
That is a potential. Yeah, this is an article from, I believe it's NBC Sports. They're trying to speculate the replacements for Granderson. As everyone hopefully knows at this point. Granderson got hurt a couple days ago. I believe he fractured a bone in his right forearm.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he's going to be out for a good 10 weeks. That's not the first 10 weeks of the season. It's, you know, the 4 weeks remaining in spring training in the first 6 weeks of the season. So about a month and a little bit. And, you know, this article is speculating whether Alfonso Soriano could be a potential replacement.
Ew.
Dan, what's your opinion on this? You think it could happen? You think it couldn't? What do you think?
So my opinion on this is that it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, I can't see Soriano wanting to play part-time once Granderson comes back.
That's very true.
And two, I can't see the Cubs wanting to do it, because the Cubs would have to shoulder most of his contract.
I can see the Cubs being fine shouldering a little bit.
No, not a little bit. We're talking like over 80%.
Okay, well, I don't know if they'd want to do that.
No, I mean, his contract is so nasty.
He's what, 2 years left on the contract?
2 years left, yep.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And I believe, I can't remember how much is left on it, but I think the Cubs would have to shoulder like $35 million of it.
Probably.
To be
something absurd and ridiculous that no one should be paying Soriano that much.
No. And even at that point, even if the Cubs, which they have a ton of money, even if they wanted to throw that money down, Soriano, I can see him rejecting that trade. He could just use his 10-5 rule.
Yep.
And just reject that.
Yep.
Because I don't know. He's been an everyday player his whole career. There's no way he takes a side seat to Granderson.
Yeah. Well, he used to play in New York, right?
Yeah, he did. Played second base.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be a reason I would think that he would want to go, you know, there. But yeah, I agree. He'd want to be an everyday player. He couldn't do that because Granderson will be back shortly.
Yeah, I don't know if the article talked about it, but the guy that I was thinking about that the Yankees could use, and who I've heard actually talk about not minding that role, would be like a Johnny Damon.
Yeah, well, actually, here's what happened. Johnny Damon called, I can't remember, ESPN was on a phone call with him, and he mentioned that he would play for the Yankees in a heartbeat, basically. And that, you know, even when Granderson came back, he would bow out automatically and just, you know, be off the team. That's not going to happen. From what I've heard, the Yankees are not interested at all in Johnny Damon. They would rather work, you know, with someone they have, in their minors.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And, not put Johnny Damon out there. So.
Yeah. One of their top outfield prospects, his name is Tough. Something like
Tough?
I don't know. Not his literal name is not Tough.
Oh.
I believe his name is Tough to pronounce.
Yeah, you should probably clarify that, because if his name was Tough, that'd be
pretty
cool.
His name is not Tough. I do not remember what his name is, but they've got a prospect in the system. They've also got Juan Rivera.
Yeah, they've got Juan Rivera and Matt Diaz.
Yikes.
Those are their options.
Yikes.
Zolio Almonte, is that who you're thinking of?
Yeah.
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 Danny Almonte's older brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Oh, yeah, him. That was a name drop right there.
I had one Danny Almonte reference per show.
Yeah, so Yeah, so not really sure what the Yankees are going to do. That it seems like they have a few options.
Yeah. Here. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The Yankees are going to finish last in the AL East this year anyway. Yes. So.
Well, and
not really, but, you know, people are saying that.
And any short-term solution they have is really just not a very good one, so at least he's only out for up until, I don't know, what is it, like mid-May?
Yeah. Well, anyway, fantasy impact on this. You know, I think Soriano will stay on the Cubs. He'll still have some value. Granderson will be out for 10 weeks. That'll affect his draft position. But me personally, I'm not big on outfielders anyway, so it really doesn't matter to me that Granderson's bumping down. Yeah. Maybe, you know, if you get everything else you need, then you can, you know, take him late and you've got DL spots in your league and you can throw him on there. Sure.
Yeah, that might be, I mean, I'm the same way with outfielders. If I happen to, you know, stumble upon the 19th and 20th rounds and down there and Curtis Granderson's hanging out, and
I don't think that's going to happen necessarily, but it might.
No, but I mean, if it does, if people take that injury for a little bit, you know, if they want production right away and they worry about Granderson, might be worth stashing. Yep. If you are able to get him real late.
Yep. Okay. How about you? You got a news article?
Yeah, so I got, I think, one of our favorite people, Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria.
Oh, he is such a great person. I love him.
Yeah, so I think that's sort of the general mood around baseball, is that he is the worst owner ever.
He is a terrible human being.
Yeah, so there's a, I mean, if you've been paying attention this offseason, the Marlins, two off-seasons ago, kind of brought in the holy grail of players.
Yep, which is now known as the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, true, yes. And so this past off-season, they gutted the team and traded everyone to the Blue Jays.
Every single player, except for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of talk about how Jeffrey Loria has been doing this on purpose because he doesn't care about baseball. He just wants to make money. And he's been sort of out of the press during the off season, trying to avoid sort of, you know, the backlash.
Well, I would too if I was that hated.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And so he hired a PR firm, and then wrote an open letter to fans.
Yeah, not a good idea.
No, and he so some of the points he makes is that the trade moved the minor league system from 28th to 5th.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, hooray.
Yeah, you're going to go win the minor league championship. Great. No, it's they did not increase their minor league system value that much unless they were just that terrible of a minor league system beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, true. And according to him, the majority of public funding, which if you guys don't know this issue, one of the big issues of backlash was that the stadium that the Miami Marlins built was taxpayer funded. And that was sort of a no-no kind of topic, especially for the city of Miami. That, I mean, all of a sudden they have no choice. All of their tax dollars are going to the stadium, which I'd be kind of upset about if I had no say in where my tax dollars are going.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like them to go to baseball rather than other things. But
yeah, I mean, there's worse things it could be going to, but still, stadiums aren't cheap.
Like education or...
Yeah, and yeah, like, I mean, there's much... There are bigger issues that money could help, and
baseball's the biggest issue.
Yeah,
at least for me.
And so, what he said about that is that the majority of public funding came from hotel taxes.
Yeah,
the burden of which is incurred by tourists. That doesn't say that it's all funded by tourists. He says the burden, which who knows what that means.
Yeah, I don't. He's a scumbag. Don't listen to him. That's the moral of the story.
I guess just to mention, too, the source. This is CBS Sports, just so you know that I'm not making this up.
Well, he could be.
And then, let's see. He brought up the fact that he brought a World Series championship in 2003 and let him do his thing. Yeah, I mean, let's see. How many? What was that now? 10 years ago?
Yeah, you're dating us right now, Dan. That seems like the other day.
Yeah, I mean... He's talking about 2003.
Yeah, I don't know. What have you done for me lately, Jeffrey Loria?
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like the Cubs.
Yeah, didn't he destroy the Expos?
He destroyed the Expos.
Yeah, the reason the Expos are gone is because of Jeffrey Loria. So.
Yeah. All right. Enough with him. Yeah. What do you got next?
Well, I mean, I guess that article didn't have any fantasy impact, but that's fine. That's a pretty.
No, it's just fun to talk about because he's annoying.
How about this one? Okay, we'll do one more. One more little news piece, then we'll get on to some fantasy.
Sure.
a fun article about everyone's favorite team, the Houston Astros.
Hey!
Hey. They are projected this year by some experts to have 120 losses. 120
losses?
Yeah, that seems a bit...
That's...
I don't know if that's a bit high. I mean, I could see it happening.
That's 42 wins.
Yeah, I don't know. Their GM said, we will outperform the expectations. I don't know if that's a really, a confident saying from him, because if your expectations are 120 losses, that means you only win, 50-some games? 56 games?
You only win 42.
I can't do math. Yeah, 42. 42 games. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably get to 50. I don't know what I put the over and under on that at. I don't know. What do you think?
That is one win every four games.
Yeah,
people.
They're not good. They just moved to a tougher division.
I mean, they got to play the Angels, I don't know, 15 times?
Angels, what, Rangers, who else?
Yeah, Seattle,
yeah,
who's
Mariners
gotten better.
Aren't that bad.
No, and Oakland.
Yeah, they're going to get destroyed.
Yeah, so the over-under on 120, I say 120, it's such a staggering loss number.
I don't know if that's happened too often in Major League history. I mean, that's probably only happened once or twice, I would think.
I mean, but they literally do not – they're a glorified AAA team.
Yeah, pretty much.
I almost want to say I want to push and stay on that number.
Yeah.
But I'll say slightly under 100. I'll say 115.
Yeah, I'll go with 112 losses.
112 losses. Yeah, I mean, I would really like to see them win 50 games.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be at the low end of maybe barely respectable for a team that lacks that much talent and money.
Yep. I mean, their salary is pretty much whatever A-Rod makes every year. That's pretty much what their full salary is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so well, with the Astros, we'll get into some fantasy with them. Their only real fantasy value would be Jose Altuve, pretty much, I think. I don't know if they have anyone else. What do you think, Dan?
I mean, their pitching's tough because it'll get no run support, and they have to play heavy hitters.
I don't know if I could even name their pitching staff at this point.
I've got two guys. I've got Bud Norris and Lucas Harrell.
Bud Norris, yep. Remember him. Okay, well.
That's all I got.
I mean, they lost
Wandy
to the Pirates, and then, yeah.
Yeah, so, Altuve is the only one probably that has, at least in the lineup, has value.
Yep, so, I mean, look out for him. Don't look out for any of their Astros.
No, unless you're playing, like us, in an AL-only league, where it's probably inevitable.
Yep.
That an Astro's going to be somewhere where you have to take
them. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, but other than that, I would try to keep them out of the draft radar.
Yep. All right, moving on to some more fantasy-relevant information. Me and Dan are going to give you some guys that we think are overvalued and some guys that we think are undervalued so that you, the listener, can hopefully make some better decisions when it comes to draft day and then laugh at the people that make terrible decisions.
Yeah. So we don't necessarily agree or disagree on all of these points.
I hope we don't agree on every one of these. It would be a really crappy show if we disagree on everything.
Yeah, no, so I have a feeling we'll get into some good discussion at least on a couple of them and go from there. So, yeah, Mitch, you want to kick us off?
All right, so the way that I do my rankings every year in Excel, to me it's been adjusted over the past couple years. I like to look at positional differences. So, basically, how much better is Miguel Cabrera than every other third baseman?
Much.
Well, yeah, the answer is much. But then compare that to how much better is Robinson Cano than every other second baseman, and then see who's more valuable, depending on the difference between Miguel and the worst starting third baseman and Cano and the worst starting second baseman. And when I say starting, I mean if you're in a 10-team league, the 10th best. So basically anyone below them, you wouldn't start. And don't count util into that. Just makes the equations way too complicated.
Yeah, and I mean just – so that just means that since there's 10 players, or 10 people in your league, the 10th best second baseman in theory will be the last starting second baseman out of all the people in your league.
Absolutely. And then another formula that I do. So that one that I just talked about was PAL, P-A-L, which is points above low, or points above lowest. And then we have PASA, which is points above starting average. So basically with that one, it's the – amount of points the hitter's going to have, or pitcher, above the average starter. So that one's more of it's a little more accurate when it shows positional value. I mean, it shows what word am I looking for here, Dan? Mind blank.
Shows the
Don't know the word. Yeah, it shows basically the amount of hitters that are in the upper end of the spectrum, the amount of hitters in the bottom end of the spectrum within that top 10.
The upper percent, the upper 50th percentile and the lower 50th percentile.
Big words. Anyway, yes. So basically, if it's top heavy or bottom heavy. And so I rank them based off the PASA, and I look at the PAL as another kind of measure. But I rank them, one to, I think I have 400 players on this based off of PASA, and then I compare that to where they're ranked in ESPN. Now, something to keep in mind with ESPN ranks, those are based off of Roto. All right, and we don't talk about Roto here because Roto's for poofs.
Yeah, we don't do Roto here.
No, there's no Roto talk here. We will not speak of it other than to bash it, all right? And the reason that we don't talk about it is because we never played it and we're not good at it. I think I played it once and I sucked, so I'm much better at points. I'll stick to points. And, there's other podcasts out there that talk about Roto, so we'll just talk about points. For everyone out there who loves points, listen to us. Everyone who loves Roto, go, give Matt Wieters a hug.
Yeah, go be friends with Matt Wieters.
Yeah, we hate Matt Wieters.
He needs them.
All right, and so anyway, I can show you the differences between my ranks based off of PASA and ESPN ranks, and who's underrated, who's overrated. So we'll start with that. My first underrated player on my chart, I have him at the sixth best player out of everyone. His PASA is 108.42, which means that he will score 108.42 points above the average starting pitcher. So, and that is going to be David Price. He is supposed to go 25th overall in ESPN's ranks. I have him ranked sixth, 19 spaces ahead. In a 10-team league, you can get him in the second or third round. That's a huge value pick, for my sixth best player. With him, also, last year he had a very good year. He had 661 points in ESPN, and they're projecting him this year for 614. So, a little bit of regression. But with him, he was averaging about 21.3 points a game, so that's pretty damn good. But again, with these projections, ESPN is not 100% accurate, as Dan knows.
Yes.
Good. Yes. Good response, Dan.
Yes. Sorry, I was getting myself ready.
Yeah, it's fine. Completely fine that you're not paying attention, during this.
No, not to you.
Anyway. So, yes, David Price is my first I wouldn't say he's underrated. I would say that he's at a good value position. His position in the draft is underrated.
Yes.
So, Dan, what's your opinion on Price?
Opinion on Price. If you get him in the second round, you should hug yourself.
Yeah, I mean, with the AL NL league, he's projected for 25, so you'd think you'd be able to get him second round, no matter what position you have in there, pretty much.
I've seen him. I've done a few mock drafts.
Yeah,
and I've seen him go. I've seen him go in the first round for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean he was the AL Cy Young last year.
Yeah, but I've also seen him drop. I've also seen him drop to like 25.
Yeah, I mean there's with that people doing Roto. The pitchers aren't as valuable, but with points, pitchers are extremely valuable. So.
And I mean I would say that if you're sitting at pick 25 and you're thinking of Price, I would not hold your breath.
No, not at all.
But I mean, if you can get him in the second round, kudos to you, man.
Huge. All right, Dan, how about your turn for an overvalued player?
All right, so I'll start with my under guy as well. I'm going another starting pitcher, and I guess just my little disclaimer, I don't do rankings the same way that Mitch does.
That's why Dan continuously loses to me.
I have started a new system this year, so that's to be determined.
Yep, we'll see how that works out.
I'm a Sabermetrics nut.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, Sabermetrics is sort of trying to find the hidden value that you don't really see from the stats that are normally kept.
Just go watch Moneyball.
Yes, go watch Moneyball. I mean, if you guys know the stat whip for pitchers, that's probably the most mainstream sabermetric stat out there. And that's walks and hits per inning pitched.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go, here we go, the ranked as the 55th player, Yu Darvish.
Yep, you.
Yu Darvish. All right, so Yu Darvish at 55 in a 10-team league. That's the sixth round, if I'm not mistaken.
You are not.
And, man, if you're sitting there at pick between pick 50 and 55 and Yu Darvish is hanging out, you should invite him in.
Yes, let him into your home.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. What am I? I have him projected, let's see, for over 220 strikeouts to pitch in 31 games and over 200 innings.
That's a good amount.
He's only one of like 7 or 8 guys in the league. Probably maybe closer to 10 to 12 guys in Major League Baseball that has the potential to go 200 innings and 200 Ks.
Yeah. Well, he did in Japan, you know.
Yeah, totally a lost art to be a horse and strike out that many guys. Some question marks around Yu Darvish, though, that I guess may have dropped him this far. He's only had 1 year.
Yep.
In the major leagues.
Yep, and last year he didn't start off too hot either.
No, he was a little streaky.
Yep.
He's got great stuff.
Yes, he does.
For sure.
I heard he's put on some muscle, too, I think, from what I heard.
Oh, that's great, and he's, you know,
he's in the best shape of his life, of course.
Yeah, of course. That's the trend.
Yep.
Another year in camp with the Rangers, so he's probably more comfortable now with the American culture, which I know was a bit of a problem for him last year, just sort of the language and stuff like that. So that could have had an effect on his numbers. But, yeah, I mean, he's just under 10 strikeouts per 9 inning, I have him projected for. And he's going to give you, I mean, I can't see him not giving you, between 20 and 25 quality starts, which translates to wins most likely in standard leagues.
Yep.
So yeah, at 55, Yu Darvish, make him your buddy.
Oh yeah, take him. I agree. I hate to keep agreeing with you on things, but you know.
I'll agree. I know, and it stinks too that I used Yu Darvish first because I know that you like Yu Darvish.
I do like. I love Yu Darvish. I love Yu Darvish.
Oh, yeah.
In my ranks, I have him at 21 overall for PASA, and that's 35 spots above where he's supposed to go on ESPN, or 34, apparently. You've got 55, I got 56 for whatever reason. Yeah. Maybe even more updated data. But, yeah, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Let's see. So, yeah, I hate to say, but I agree on that. And I think, you know, I think that he has the potential to finish in the top 3 pitchers. I also think he has potential to finish, you know, 25th overall. So
yeah, he's a bit of a variable.
I think he's a variable. I think, you know, you've got a better percent chance of him finishing in the top 10 than you do of him finishing, you know, below the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always that risk.
Yeah. He pitches in kind of a hitter friendly ballpark too.
Yep.
And he loses one of his greatest offensive weapons.
Yeah, that would be Mr. Josh Hamilton, I believe.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, but you know the game, A.J. Przinski, your boy.
Yeah, my former boy.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention our biases. I am a Tigers fan, and Dan is a terrible Sox fan.
That would be a White Sox fan, not a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, still terrible nonetheless.
Yeah, so we hate each other's teams.
Oh, we hate each other as well.
Yeah, we do hate each other.
Yep. So, that's why we do the show together.
Yeah, so, yeah, we just did it out of pure hatred, though.
Yep.
All right, give us your next guy.
Okay.
How about an overvalued guy? Give us an overvalued.
I will give you an overvalued, and you know what? Oh, gosh, I don't want to give this one. I might as well just give this one early anyway. We'll get him out of the way. Matt Wieters.
Matt Wieters.
All right, me and Dan absolutely despise this man.
Matt Wieters.
We really do not like him at all. And I'm even going against my sheets when this is coming out. So my sheets tell me that he is, you know, a value pick of 22 picks ahead of where he's supposed to go. But again, this is based off of ESPN's projections. And, you know, I don't always follow them. I follow them sometimes, you know, just because I feel like they've got a better grip on, you know, player value with points. You know, I feel like they, you know, if I'm trying to project something, they'll probably be able to project it better. Dan doesn't feel the same way, obviously, since he does all of his own projections. He feels like Bill James is God.
I do like Bill James.
He does like Bill James. But, you know, with this one, I'm going to have to disagree with you at ESPN. Matt Wieters has been overrated ever since he came up. Yep. I remember when he came up, he was like the next, you know, best thing. He was pretty much what Buster Posey is. People are projecting him to be.
Yeah. Not really his fault, though.
No. I mean, he was overhyped. You know.
Yes.
Don't believe the hype. Public Enemy. Anyone knows that song? Yes. But, yeah, he last year he had 330 for a catcher. That's not bad. I mean, it's not stellar. It's not bad, though. He was averaging 2.3 points. Again, not bad. This year they got him for 377. So, I mean, I feel like they're jump a little bit too far with another 47 points, but that I don't like him. ESPN's got him ranked as 57th overall. I just there's other catchers that you want other than him.
Yeah. See, I'm actually disagreeing with my own projections here too, which I have Matt Wieters. It, according to my projections, has some awfully sneaky value, just not as the number, you know, one of the top catchers. I don't know. He strikes out way too much. He strikes out almost twice as much as he walks.
Sheesh.
Which actually in the modern baseball game, that's not as rare. But still, he's not going to give you any stolen base value, which is pretty typical among catchers. And he's not going to, I have this stat called runs created, which is sort of like a combination of, you know, runs scored, sac flies, RBIs, like all the things that a player is involved in creating a run. And he's actually one of the, four other catchers ahead of him in the amount of runs that are going to be created.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a guy that's going to hit in the middle of the order, not really something you want to see. And yeah, like Mitch was saying, overhyped his whole career.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah. He is, for a positive note that we can give Matt Wieters a slight bit of love, he is turning 27 this year, which is that quote-unquote magical age.
I don't think there's such a thing as magical age for Matt Wieters. There is no magic.
No. We fear Matt Wieters has lost the magic or never had the
magic.
Never
had it. Never had it.
But 27 is typically the beginning of that quote-unquote prime. So I suppose we shall see.
Yeah, I'm just going to say avoid him, all right? That's my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I don't have him on my list, actually, because I just thought it was too obvious.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had to throw him out there, so.
Yeah. I'd actually, you know, I'm going to drop another undervalue guy because I know you disagree with me on this one.
All right.
Ryan Howard.
I definitely disagree with you.
Ryan Howard, poor guy. 2 years ago, NLDS blew out his Achilles.
Yep, that'll happen when you're that big.
And then last year, came back at the end of the year, was not the same player. I think he played in 70 games and hit 14 home runs, which isn't bad.
No.
And he was useless against left-handed pitching, which is atypical of him. Just sort of a shade.
Yep.
Of what he was, which, I mean, in fantasy, he was a big point producer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say he was a big point producer. He was really good in Roto, just because the amount of runs he did.
Yeah, true.
I mean,
true.
He did get a good amount of points, but comparatively toward the other first baseman up there, you know, like the Pujols, anyone named Pujols, you know, he would get a decent amount of points, but he was more valuable in Roto just because of the home runs.
And the things he's not going to get you, like, I mean, he's going to strike out way more than Pujols, and he's not going to get as many hits.
Yeah, or I wouldn't think he gets too many. Does he get doubles and triples? I wouldn't. He's not a fast man.
No, I can look him up.
He's no Paul Goldschmidt.
No, he's not really a doubles guy.
Yeah.
Not terrible, but not good really for a power guy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you why I think he has sneaky value. Pick 147.
Yep, that's what, 15th round?
15th round, yep. If you have waited this long for, you know, whatever reason, whether you have some sort of different strategy to pick a first baseman, and you got nothing there. I mean, the first baseman, it's a relatively deep category.
Yeah.
once you get past the first three or four guys, they become pretty similar. But, I mean, what do we have? Let's see. I'm looking at Bill James's projections here. I should let you know that my projections are for this AL-only league that we're doing. I've got, you know, a lot of the guys I talk about tend to fall into that sheet because I have researched them so heavily.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Ryan Howard was in the AL now.
Yeah, he is not. I am looking at Bill James.
Oh, so you're copying
Bill James' handbook. And let's see, what do we got for Ryan Howard here? We got 150 games they project into play in. So that means that the Achilles is feeling good. He said it's feeling good. I think we have 36 home runs projected to 102 RBIs.
That's pretty good.
And to bat 251.
Yeah, that's about what he does.
Yeah, and right around 200 strikeouts, which is very him.
Yep.
And man, I'm gonna start us off on the right foot here with I'm gonna be calling my shot right now.
Oh, he's calling a shot.
Calling my shot on Ryan Howard.
Oof. What's
over 30 home runs?
Over 30. Well,
over 30 home runs.
You know,
runs.
I'm gonna call you out, and I'm gonna say less than 30.
Less than 30. So we got that over-under on 30 home
yep.
runs.
Yep. All right. So all you out there listeners, take note. All right. This is one part of the show where one of us will call a shot, and the other person can either choose to accept that shot because they agree with it or they don't feel strongly enough against it, or they can call him out. So in this case, I obviously decided that there is absolutely no way in the world that Ryan Howard is going to hit more than 30 home runs this year because he's probably going to break his leg.
Yeah, well, you know, very – very possible.
Yep. So everyone take note. We're going to take note of these as well. At the end of the year, when we see, you know, basically who wins between the two, we'll have one of us, whoever loses, Dan, is going to have to do something really stupid, something whatever, something the fans want, and we'll post pictures, whatever, on Facebook, Twitter. Follow us at Fantasy Signs.
Yeah, we might try to do something, too, related to the podcast where one of us has to say, you know, something endearing about the other person.
Yeah, or we'll just, you know, put the other person in a tar pit, you know, put feathers on them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, make them look like a chicken.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's I wrote it down here, too, in case you didn't. I got my Ryan Howard plus 30 home runs here.
What if he hits exactly 30? You got to go 30.5 or you got to go 29.5?
I'll call 29.5.
I knew you'd go that way. Fine, I'll still go under.
29.5, so I get the 30, because that's what I meant. That's what I was
30 or
intending.
Over. Yeah, makes sense. All right. What if he actually hits 29.5? Like,
well, then we have a baseball problem.
It's amazing. I don't know how he would do that.
Yeah. So I think 15th round. I think a lot of people have forgotten about Ryan Howard.
Yeah.
Which is why I call him a sneaky fantasy pick.
Well, here's why I don't think he's a sneaky fantasy pick, Daniel. About 8 picks ahead of him is your boy Paul Konerko.
Paul Konerko.
And I would definitely take Paul Konerko over Mr. Ryan Howard.
And not to say that I would not take Paul Konerko. I'm just saying if you're looking and there's a guy like Konerko, you know, who's been a machine for the better part of 10 years
yep.
is gone. And guys, you know, a lot of these guys are off the board, like the Kendry Moraleses and Chris Davises and those guys off the board. Ryan Howard, you know, why not?
I don't know, still. I mean, I might even rather have Justin Morneau, you know, no offense, but I think Morneau's ceiling's higher. As long as he can keep out of, you know, getting hit in the head.
Yeah, he does need to stop doing that.
Then I think he could, I don't know. We're allowed to disagree.
Yeah, and Howard's a guy, too, that I don't even think he'll be looked at until past the 15th round. I think a lot of people have really forgotten about him, and he's older. He doesn't play on nearly as dynamic a lineup as he did 5 years ago, with like when Chase Utley was really healthy and Jimmy Rollins was healthy and Victorino and all those guys were there. So maybe the RBI, I think the RBI projection's a little high at 102.
Yeah, I don't know if the Phillies are going to score that much.
I could see like 80, but with 30 home runs, if I'm thinking 30 home runs, I'm thinking he's got to have at least 90.
Yep.
But so yeah, I mean, I think even if he hits 25 home runs, he's a pretty good pick, way down in the draft.
Yep.
especially even if you have no, if you have a first baseman or looking for a util guy.
I'm still going to disagree with you, but, you know, if you guys feel like losing this season, you know, listen it in.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, what do you got up next here?
Let's see what I can go for. Okay, so this is a position that not many people care for. This is going to be relief pitching. So when it comes to relief pitchers, usually, you know, it's like, who cares? Just take whatever. It's like a kicker in fantasy football, pretty much. You're like, I'll take whoever. It doesn't matter. In this case, it really does for one player. If you can get Craig Kimbrell, you are set. And Dan is laughing because we've had two drafts so far, the CBS and the Yahoo drafts. And in both of those drafts, Dan has gotten Craig Kimbrell right before I was going to pick it. So Dan picks him one round before I do, and it's very upsetting. And unfortunately, we can't get him in the Steens because it's an AL-only league. But anyway, Craig Kimbrell on my charts is the eighth best player based off of PASA.
He's a beast.
He is absurd. All right, he is projected for 471 fantasy points. Last year, he had 484.
That's silly as a closer.
It's absurd for a relief pitcher. I mean, he's projected for more points than, you know, a good amount of starting pitchers.
That's
and he pitches
ridiculous.
How many innings a year?
70.
Yeah, I mean, if that, I don't know. So you have to, if, oh, gosh. Okay, so ESPN's got him at, yeah, they're projecting for 69 innings. He had 63 last year, and he had more points. You know, he could even, his ceiling, it could even be maybe 500 points. But basically, ESPN's got him at 44, and I've got him as the eighth best pick. You can get, if you can get him in the third round even, that's a huge value pick. You know, you're going to have a huge advantage on everyone else who doesn't have that closer. And the next best closer, who is it? Dan? I don't even know.
Max best closer?
Papelbon is what their projection is. Kimbrell laughs at Papelbon and, you know,
he does.
Smacks him in the face.
Yeah, Yes, he does.
Yeah, and so actually, well, here's the thing. Another note. In ESPN standard leagues, there is no innings cap on pitchers. There is no start limit on pitchers. So Kimbrell is not going to be as valuable in those leagues that don't limit, because you could get a Chris Medlin who has relief pitcher designation, and you could just throw him in that slot as well and get another start.
Yeah, or an Aroldis Chapman.
Exactly. But we can talk about Aroldis Chapman, you know, either later day or another day. But I might disagree with you on his value. But, basically, if you do have a start limit, if you do have an innings limit, Kimbrell is so much more valuable. Dan, I would assume that you agree, seeing as you picked him twice before me?
Yeah, and I picked him twice in leagues that don't really appear to have start limits. The CBS one's a little weird because it's a weekly lineup change.
Yep.
But the Yahoo one doesn't have a starts limit, and I still went for Kimbrell.
Yep. It's that good. And I went for Medlin in that league.
Yeah, and both of them, I believe. Do you have Medlin in both?
I might. I probably do.
Yeah, I think you have them both.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just drafting so well that I kept, you know, forgetting who I had.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, so, yeah, Kimbrell, solid.
Yep, they, stud. Let's see, they're projecting him for a couple more Ks, a couple more innings, one less save. I mean, he had 42 saves last year. That is a pretty good amount.
Yeah.
And the Braves are going to be a good team again this year. They'll have a lot of opportunities for him to save games. So, I don't think you can go wrong with Craig Kimbrell in the third or fourth round, especially in the fourth round. You get him, you have to take him. If you do not take him, I will make fun of you.
Yes, yes.
So
you will be the new Matt Wieters.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get one more player in here before we salute off. And this is going to be interesting, cuz I'm going to have to explain this one.
Yeah.
This is an overvalued guy, and it's drafting Ben Zobrist for the wrong reason.
What reason is that, Dan?
If you draft him as an outfielder,
why the heck would you do that?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think people can fall into this trap.
They can. They do.
Even though I think he presents a lot of value at shortstop.
Absolutely.
And slight value at second base.
Mm-hmm.
And almost zero value at outfield.
That's another thing to address. After you don't talk about Zobrist, I'll talk about positional value. Go.
Yes. So Zobrist is projected 54th. Is that look right to you?
Yeah, I think your projections don't include Michael Bourne.
I don't think they do, actually. Yeah, I had to add him in.
Yeah, so yeah. It bumped everyone down after him. So Ben's up at 55. We'll have to get your sheets updated, Dan. Maybe this is why I keep winning over you, because, you know.
I have Michael Bourne on my sheets.
You do? What do you have, Matt?
Well, I have Michael Bourne in my AL-only sheet.
Oh.
He's right under Ben Zobrist.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
So 55, I believe, overall.
Yeah, so what does that put us at? The
sixth round, middle sixth round.
Yeah, and so as Mitch and I mentioned earlier, we're not really high on outfielders.
Nope.
Especially how deep outfielders
in
are.
In 10-team AL or AL-NL leagues, extremely deep. How many? That's
ridiculous.
What? Oof, I can't even do the math. How many outfielders is that?
I think that's 90 outfielders, 30 teams, 3 outfielders apiece.
Yeah.
90 outfielders that are going to start,
yep,
in theory. I mean, if you're picking outfielders right away, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't – that means you got, what, 60 extra outfielders if you got 10 teams with 3 each? Maybe even if they all util, or even if every team has a util outfielder, that's, what, 40? So you have 50 still to pick from?
Yeah.
Last year – my outfielders, which I picked up off of waivers, ended up being Nelky Cabrera, Josh Willingham, and Mike Trout. Like, I mean, I know it's not going to happen every year, obviously, because Mike Trout only comes once in a lifetime as a, you know, guy off the waivers, because he's never going to be a waiver player ever again. But, you know, you can pick up talent later. You don't have to draft. It's not like, you know, shortstop or third base where, you know, there's a limited amount of talent at the top and then it just drops. So there's talent throughout an outfield.
Right. And I think that opens up a good point on Zobrist, where he's in the upper, I guess, the upper echelon of shortstops.
Yeah, technically, according to ESPN rankings, at least points rankings, he is the second
best shortstop.
Yeah, projected right points, he's at 434, and Troy Tulowitzki is at 476.
Oh, Tulo. Tulo,
that's Tulo,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Zobrist, don't get me wrong, Zobrist definitely has value, but if you're drafting him for the wrong position.
Yeah, if you draft Troy Tulowitzki, then come back around and draft Ben Zobrist, and you have another second baseman, and you put Zobrist in the outfield, you're a moron.
Yeah, even putting him at second base is,
It's not as bad as outfield, but yeah, if you put him in the outfield, you're an idiot. So
yeah. Seriously, I mean, when there's guys like near the bottom, I mean, who do we got near the bottom here? Like a Ben Revere, who I love.
Yeah, he does like his Ben Revere.
And the guy's gonna steal 40 bases, so that's
at least. And the Twins decide to give him up for scraps.
Well,
they
Vance Worley. Yikes!
Twins are not good at managing the organization.
And who? Let's see. Who else do we have in the outfield down below?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like Nick Markakis, someone like that. You know, down there, that it's going to get you points. He's a power hitter a little bit.
I'm trying to scroll through power here. See who and I guess a guy that we should talk about overvalued too real quick in the outfield, BJ and Justin Upton.
Yeah, either the Upton brothers. You know, they're big in roto because they do a lot of different things, but you know, in points leagues they don't really have an impact.
Yeah, they're stinky.
And they're both overvalued when it comes to their position at ESPN. I mean, that's just based off of roto again, so you're gonna have to draft them way too early, and just don't do that. Let someone else make the mistake.
Yeah, please.
So, yeah.
Great. So that was, you know, we'll be bringing stuff like that to you every now and again.
Yep.
As we see fit, kind of going up until the last drafts.
Yep.
And our draft for our AL-only league is coming up March 10th. So I would think that if we have time that night, We'll throw something together, kind of a post-draft.
Hopefully. Yeah, it depends podcast. How many drinks we have during the draft.
Yes, yeah, it does depend.
Yep. For everyone, this is an alcohol-loving show. Not loving. I don't know if loving is the right word.
Friendly,
that would be the word. Friendly.
Yeah, we're going to start once we get kind of a more...
We missed the seventh inning stretch, too.
We did. Yeah.
Oh.
Once we get a more structured flow here, we're going to be breaking about two-thirds of the way through.
Yep. And you guys can break with us, you the listeners.
Yeah, we're gonna call it a seventh inning stretch, and maybe we'll sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game."
We're definitely not singing. Neither of us have the singing voice for that.
I will sing.
I will turn off your mic. I control the mics, everyone.
You do have that power.
I definitely do. But yeah, no, we'll crack open a beer, you know, just because you know we can. If you're at your house, you know, and you're listening, you should crack one open too.
Yeah, and I believe we'll toast to you.
Yes, we shall toast to you, the listeners.
Yeah, because we're excited that you took time to listen to us.
And we apologize that you actually felt like taking time to listen to us.
Yeah, because that's your fault.
So, yeah, you probably should be. In order to make this show more interesting, you should drink.
Yes. Yeah, it'll help you get through it.
Every time we mention Matt Wieters, drink.
Yeah, we would enjoy that. Yep. And we won't drop them just for the fun of drinking.
Oh, no.
But you'll hear it enough.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, that'll wrap us up for episode number one here.
Yep.
We'll be coming at you sometime shortly hereafter.
Yep, hopefully. Maybe next time we'll go over our CBS and Yahoo teams at least, you know, and kind of our thoughts, even though we're rookies to that. You know, if you're a rookie in fantasy baseball, we can relate to that with that, I guess. And go over those teams and, you know, what our thoughts were going into the draft and, you know, how that changed during the draft, because you know any strategy that you have before the draft usually changes when you get into it, because you know you have to adjust to what other people are doing.
Yeah, like me taking Kimbrel.
Yeah, like Dan taking Craig Kimbrel both times because he knew I was going to.
So yeah, that'll be a good thing to talk about. We'll be bringing news to you every time.
Yep. Just some news. Hopefully, we can find some more fantasy relevant stories, like you know Matt Wieters breaks his leg. Something like
that's
that.
Not fantasy relevant.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. It's not.
That's actually fantasy rejoice.
Yes, exactly. But no, and we do not wish any injuries upon Matt Wieters. We apologize if he's listening. I'm sorry, Matt.
We're sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah, we just don't like him in fantasy at all.
No.
So, yeah, there's that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Fantasy Science. We're going to start posting some things, hopefully.
Yeah, and then... No, we got an email address.
We
too,
do. This is fantasyscience@gmail.com. Yeah, apparently someone else already took fantasy science. So if you know that person, please tell them to give up their account for us.
Yeah, because we want it.
We are very deserving people.
Yeah, so yeah, please feel free to email us. We'll try to answer some questions.
Yep.
If they, you know, start flowing in.
Yep. And also I think we're gonna try to start up a league at some point. For you, the listeners, maybe me or Dan, one of us will compete in that league, and you know, see how you guys do against the so-called experts.
Yep.
So you know, maybe you'll prove us wrong. Maybe you guys will be running the show next year.
Yeah, true. We don't want that though.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Let's just do that. If one of you beats Dan, you can replace him as host.
Well, that's just
unfortunately,
nice.
You'd also have to live with me then in you know Wisconsin. So
yeah, and you don't want to do that.
So that probably won't happen.
All right, so. You know, stay tuned for episode number two, and thanks for listening tonight.
Yep, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you soon.
Adios.
Fantasy Science is not associated with ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, NBC, or Major League Baseball. Mitch and Dan do not claim to know everything about fantasy baseball. If they did, they would not be recording this on their futon. For more fantasy advice, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Fantasy Science, or email us at thisisfantasyscience@gmail.com. Matt Wieters was not harmed during the making of this episode.